Welcome back. Time now for the France 24 debate. In 7 months from now, people across France are going to be heading to the polls to vote in the presidential election, which will determine whether or not President Emmanuel Macron becomes the country's third consecutive one-term head of state, or whether he'll manage to do what his two predecessors failed to achieve and win a second term. Well, it's been an eventful few days here in French politics. Let's take a look at what the scene was like during the weekend here in Paris. Because for the ninth week in a row, thousands of people took to the streets right across France to protest against the coronavirus health pass, which they say discriminates against the unvaccinated. Another weekend headline was the news that the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has thrown her hat into the ring for next year's election. She says she will seek the Socialist Party's nomination, or she becomes one of the most instantly recognisable contenders in the field. Well, President Macron has not yet officially declared his bid for re-election, but the national rallies Marine Le Pen has, she officially launched her campaign on Sunday. France 24's Fraser Jackson has this report for us.
As the race towards France's 2022 presidential election gathers pace, a prominent figure on the political scene has thrown her hat into the ring. Anne Hidalgo, mayor of Paris since 2014, announced her candidacy on Sunday as she seeks to become the nominee for the Socialist Party and France's first female president.
Alors ensemble, levons-nous et avec courage, avec détermination, avec optimisme, avec générosité, ensemble, offrons un avenir à nos enfants. Vive la République et vive la France.
Hidalgo's unashamed ecological mission to drive cars out of Paris has divided residents of the capital. But she has steered the city through several key moments, including multiple terror attacks, violent protests such as the Yellow Vest movement, and the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral. Her message of ecology and unity stood juxtaposed to the other most prominent woman in the race, who held a campaign shortly afterwards. Far-right candidate Marine Le Pen is on her third bite at the cherry, and her combative rhetoric hasn't changed much. At a rally in the south, Le Pen promised to give back freedoms seemingly lost to the pandemic and globalization, as well as clean up parts of France she described as Talibanized.
Nous éradiquerons, mes amis, des quartiers, les bandes, les mafias et tous ceux qui, islamistes ou non, veulent nous imposer des règles et des modes de vie qui ne sont pas les nôtres. En France, les Français ont le droit de vivre comme des Français.
Many see Le Pen facing off against Macron in the second round of voting in a repeat of the 2017 elections, although Macron has not officially announced his candidacy yet. The first round of voting will take place on April 10th, 2022.
Okay, so how is the presidential race shaping up? What do the latest announcements mean for the race to the Élysée? And are we looking at a repeat of the 2017 duel between Le Pen and Macron? And if so, what will be the key differences 5 years on? Those are just some of the questions I'll be putting to my guests today. My guests are here in the studio, Daniel Obono, who is an MP for the party La France Insoumise. That party name translates as Unsubmissive France. That's a left-wing movement launched by Jean-Luc Mélenchon. Does that do your party name justice, Unsubmissive France?
Yeah.
Is that how you translate it? Okay, good. I'm also joined here in the studio by Angela Diffley, who is France 24's French politics editor. Welcome back to you, Angela. From Marc in the north of France, I'm joined by Pierre-Henri Dumont, who is MP for Les Républicains, that is the mainstream political right, the rebranded party of the former president Nicolas Sarkozy. We're also joined by Senator Richard Young, who left the Socialist Party 5 years ago and joined En Marche, which is now called La République En Marche, the party of President Emmanuel Macron. So thank you, all of you, for joining us. Perhaps I could start by asking you, Daniel, since you've come in to see us, what issues do you see as emerging as being the key issues of the 2022 presidential race?
Actually, it depends who you're asking to this question. If we are asking the question to the people in France, they will talk about employment and the precarity that they are facing now. They will talk about, of course, the COVID health crisis, which highlight the appalling state of our health system. They will talk about education. They will talk about housing. Those all are the major issues that are people are facing daily, and that those are the questions we are, La France Insoumise, campaigning around and trying to build a movement, a majority around those issues. Actually, we did a poll recently about the key measures we are proposing to debate during this presidential election, and a vast majority of the people agreed with those issues. So this is the reality of the level of consciousness within the people. On the contrary, we think about the media landscape and the way it is build in the media and in the political and for Mr. Macron and President Macron. You will only hear about security issues, you will only hear about Islam, you will only hear about those topics that will help Marine Le Pen and the far right to be at the second round, because this is the strategy that Emmanuel Macron had designed over a year ago, saying that he had to face Marine Le Pen at the second round if he want to win. So this is what we've been living as a political opponents, is that the focus on those far-right topics that are not the main issue that people are actually facing and what they want to talk about. I think about, for instance, the environmental crisis, climate crisis is an even more important issue. People are realizing the concrete and daily effects that those issue climate crisis has on their life. But that's not what is being pushed forward. And I think that's the disconnect between working class people, middle class issues, and what is being billed as the only debate topics that should be talked about by the government, by Mr. Macron, and by some of the media, which is a very problematic, I think, on the democratic level.
Okay, thanks for that. Angela, just to develop what we were hearing there from Danielle, I mean, when we listen to Marine Le Pen speaking in Fréjus, which she did on Sunday, I mean, law and order seems to be very much what she's focusing on. I think that's something we're going to be hearing quite a lot about from not just her, as Danielle said as well, perhaps Emmanuel Macron anticipating that and discussing that himself.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite accurate to say that it's the media which is peddling the idea that law and order and immigration are key issues. A number of polls have put those as the top issues for the French public. And in many ways, they were already the top issues in the last election. And the election campaigns became somewhat eclipsed by a major scandal surrounding François Fillon. And to some extent, those key issues didn't get debated. They have only become bigger and bigger since, if you look at the polls. There is, however you look at it, I think, something of a law and order problem. There have been the Gilets Jaunes violence. That originally was a provincial right-wing movement. It later morphed into something else. There were regular Saturday demonstrations against the pensions, often infiltrated by far-left activists. There have been anti-vax demonstrations, which we've seen in many countries around the world, but in France they are very, very significant and have often turned violent. There have been anti-police demonstrations. There is also a problem on the outskirts of many major cities in France, where there are turf wars around drug dealing, and the ordinary people living in those areas, because of course it's always a tiny minority of people who are engaging in turf wars, but the ordinary people feel they deserve police protection, and there is some evidence that the police hesitate to go into certain areas. So however you look at it, I think it's fair to say there is something of a law and order problem, and there is some people then are connecting it to how do we look at problems around immigration, integration, illegal immigration. All of these issues have come to the top of the voters' agenda. And the question really is how to tackle that. Some politicians prefer to inject more money and feel that the right people aren't getting the money, and others think that it's a more deep-seated problem and are struggling to come up with answers. Michel Barnier on the mainstream right, not even the far right, is suggesting a moratorium on immigration because immigration has been linked by some to these law and order issues.
Okay, thanks for that, Angela. And let me turn to Richard Young, who is, of course, from the president's party. I mean, President Macron positioned himself in 2017 as a centrist, but he's sounding like he's taken a couple of steps to the right these last few years. How do you respond to that?
I would say that this is the impression that he has given, but in fact, the policies that he has followed have been pretty strong from the economic point of view. I've listened to your guests, but nobody has said that the economic situation is much better than anybody thought, that employment is not so bad, and that we are heading towards, I hope, a good economic situation in 2022. So, of course, what has been said is true. Let me say that Madame Le Pen is being overridden on her right by Mr. Zemmour in these questions of immigration and integration of people of other countries. And I must say I was very much surprised by the declarations of Mr. Barnier, whom I thought was a true European and who has came out last week saying that we should not recognize the European Court of Justice Authority and so on and so on. When you think he was the chief negotiator for many years with the British, and that the British were very hard on the fact that they didn't want the European Court of Justice, you feel that these presidential elections, they just make them mad. That's all I can say.
Okay, and last but not least, let me turn to Pierre-Henri Dumont, who is MP for Les Républicains, the mainstream right here in France. I mean, it's looking like being quite a crowded field when it comes to the right wing of French politics. How are Les Républicains going to stand out?
Well, good evening. First of all, as you may have noticed, there are more and more people in France claiming that on a scale to 1 to 10, left to the right, are more and more going to the right than before. It's especially true with the youngest generations. So maybe the space is a bit crowded on the right wing parties, but you have more and more French citizens who define themselves as being member or supporters of right wing policies. So first, that was the main thing to say if we want to take a look at the new landscape of politics in France. Then, as it was said by your former, the former senator and the former senator Young a few minutes ago, Emmanuel Macron was very tough on economics, but so it was more like a new wave socialist party than on the right wing subjects, as we may think about migration, about integration of foreigners, when we are talking about security, justice, etc., etc., where the French citizens think and believe that he had a very weak politics on that. So we have a big space now for Les Républicains. The main goal here is to have only one candidate, and we will. We will have only one candidate to show the French citizens that we are the only option to avoid the new Macron versus Le Pen duel and duo at the second turn of the next presidential election, because that's a last point I want to stress, is that the French citizens reject in the world and large majority a new same second turn as it was in 2017. So the only up, as we see in the polls, to avoid such a non-decision as a fight between Macron and Le Pen is to vote for a Les Républicains member and candidate for the presidential election.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and find out who that person's going to be. But I can see Daniela shaking her head. You don't seem to think this is a country that's gone a few steps to the right. Why not?
No, I don't think, and I really stand to my first statement is that this is a field that is built. For instance, there was a poll showing that maybe two-thirds of the people invited in the morning shows in France were from the right. I mean, that's appalling on a basic democratic level, the way it is shaped in order to highlight the not just the issue, but the right-wing and far-right-wing point of view. It was referred about Mr. Zemmour, which is a total media build-up, and that is all today focusing with all those vile and xenophobic. This is a man who's been condemned by the justice twice for hate speech, but he's given free rein on mainstream media. So this is what is being filled. I don't mean that there's no law and order problematic. Of course they are. And that should be discussed. And we have a lot of things to say how we should reshape our police and policing and those policy around it. But the problem is, for instance, you've been talking about the Yellow Vest movement as a law and order movement, which it wasn't. It was about environmental justice. It was about economic issue. It was mainly, and those and the demands were about social justice, about economic justice. That's the majority of what has been happening. You talk about the pension movement. Those were the major social movement that has been happening in this country over the past years. And this is about pension. You talk about anti-police and anti-police brutality movement. This is about equality. And it has nothing... I mean, of course, the way the Mr. Macron and the government reacted was by crushing those movement, by unleashing police brutality, and that's a reaction of the government that created those law and order problems. If you think about police brutality and the level of repression, unheard in France, a country that is used to social movement, but the level of repression is at a high time low. So that, to me, that shows how those problematic environmental issue, economic issue, social issue are only viewed from the point of view of, you know, law and order and all the thematic and topics that highlight and that push forward the far right and right wing agenda. I think that's problematic.
You're a politician. I come back to the facts that.
But the facts are that polls show unemployment is been for years the main topic for people.
I'm afraid as the debate is heating up, it's deeply frustrating for everyone. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in 2 minutes. I'm so sorry. We'll be back in just 2 minutes' time. Do stay tuned. Welcome back to part two of the France 24 debate. Today we're looking ahead to how the race for the French presidency is shaping up. The election might still be 7 months away, but during the last couple of days there's been a flurry of activity with well-known figures announcing their candidacy, as well as fresh protests and an announcement by the former Prime Minister Edouard Philippe that he's throwing his weight behind his former boss. So lots to talk about. Just before the break, we were talking about what some of the issues are on the minds of voters. And I believe that, well, let's start with you, Angela, because you're here with us in the studio. You want to just clarify something, and then we'll go to Richard Young.
Yes, I just wanted to take issue with your definition of the Gilets Jaunes. It's a very difficult to define movement. I wouldn't call it environmental, social justice, not quite sure what you called it. It began in protest against a rise in fuel taxes, and it was a movement in the provinces where people use their cars a lot. Afterwards, certainly, it morphed into all sorts of things. I think it's quite difficult to define. I'm a journalist. I'm not here to peddle a party line, but the suggestion that law and order and immigration is something that is got up by the media is something which is regularly said by parties who feel that that is not their strong area. It is a hardy annual. It is always the line of attack that it's the media who has pushed this to the front of the agenda and that it's not a real voters' concern. I think the polls speak for themselves. It really is a voters' concern. And it's not surprising because of the law and order issues, which are real and can be seen. As for the media as well, I think many of the people who are worried about law and order and immigration feel that they are the silent minority, and that a lot of people making the noise in these demonstrations represent a small number of people, and that the silent majority are putting up with this. I also think you need to look at, we've talked a lot about Eric Zemmour for viewers outside, let's not concentrate too much on him as a person, but he is on a television station which has been a runaway success because it has concentrated on issues which it felt until now much of the mainstream media was ignoring.
Some are comparing that channel to Fox News, just for our international audience.
For what it's worth, I don't think it is like that, but it certainly is focusing on what is unpolitically correct. So they feel they're speaking for the silent majority who have not been well served by the media.
Okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that, Angela. I can hear Richard Young patiently wanting to step in. Please do go ahead, and thank you for being patient with us.
Thank you. What has been said on law and order is true. I think it depends also on where you are in France. Obviously, Marseille was on the front lines last week because there are many, many problems of drugs and banditism in Marseille. In other cities where I lived, where I speak from, Tours, in the Touraine, in the Loire Valley, this is not such an important issue. So these matters depend on where you are. But what I wanted to say is that on the themes of the next campaign, I think that the first one will be the health policy and the COVID. We are in a good movement. It is now going down, but nothing is sure, and what will happen in the next weeks and next month, nobody knows. So I think that will be the first of the populations of the French people's query in the campaign. And the second one, nobody has mentioned this, is the environmental question. It has now become also a front line. I think problems of climate, problems of housing, of transport, and so on, are now quite important. And these two issues will be in the campaign next year.
Sure. Okay. To be fair, on Daniel, who's here with us in the studio, Daniel Urbano, the issue of climate change and concerns about the environment was raised early in the debate. Can I just ask Pierre-Henri Dumont, who's also standing by for us patiently, not with us in the studio, unfortunately, but in the north of France. I mean, does all of this ring true to you? And it's very interesting for me as an outsider here in France, not hearing the economy mentioned as being a particular priority. We've talked about law and order. We've talked about the environment. We've talked about the healthcare system. But what about the economy? Normally, that's the most important issue, isn't it?
Normally, that's one of the most important issues. But the fact is, for the last 18 months, there is like a creating of a fake economy only based on debt. So all the firms, all the entrepreneurs had money that never had before. The sanitary crisis gave a chance to people in the firms, to entrepreneurs, not to be bankrupt because of this crisis. And we are having more and more debt in our country. And I think that the economy, the way we think it should be, meaning you know helping the entrepreneurs who want to create new jobs in France, etc., is already done, but because of debt. And the main subject will not be on the economy, but on the public finances. How debt was at the beginning of the crisis, 100% of GDP. Nowadays, it's around 120% of GDP. That was a huge amount of debt that was created because of the crisis. I'm not saying that it shouldn't have been created. I'm just saying that we need to address the issue of how we deal with that, how we can create a new world for children without that burden of a debt, because debt will need to be reimbursed at one time.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I'm not here to champion the president, but I mean, isn't it fair to say, and this goes to everyone, I mean, hasn't France's handling of the pandemic been pretty enviable internationally when you consider how few people have lost their jobs relative to other countries? People haven't been turned out of their homes. People, I mean, the social security network in France, and it's not just credit to the president, but it's the network that's existed for a long time in this country, has been a safety net for so many people here, and the healthcare system, you know, it has provided free testing, free lots mm-hmm. of things that lots of other countries haven't provided.
Yeah, and it's thanks to the social security and that had been fought for many decades, and that this present government has been weakening. One of the reasons why you had, for instance, healthcare people, they have been health.
That's
yes, healthcare has been weakened
rubbish.
By the system, and that's the very reason why you had nurses and you have healthcare providers that were onto the street protesting the handling of this government, and that's what the problem is. You talk about the economy, of course it's important, but I think what is important when you talk about economy is the way the government has been willing to go back to the way it used to be, business as usual. That's the only, and you heard my colleague Pierre-Henri Dumont also saying that what's burdening the future generation, it's the debt. We're facing a crisis, environmental crisis, that is threatening the very existence of humanity. And the right wing, and I include Mr. Macron and Mr. Dumont in the same side, they are just focused about the debt. I think that the problem is we have been witnessing rising inequalities, economic crisis. There's a rising poverty in France that we've never seen before.
We have
5 years.
Yes.
I finished it. 5 years.
Just one second.
We've been 5 years with the government that pretended to make our planet great again, but has been done nothing, to the point that NGOs have been protesting the government. Those are the main issues.
All right,
rising inequalities and not facing climate
rising
change.
Rising inequalities,
I think,
and climate change.
That's impact economy
let me
and
give,
the future
let
of this
me
country.
Give Richard Young the chance to reply notably to that accusation that the president has undermined the healthcare system. How do you respond to that?
No, I think this is quite untrue. As has been said, the treatment of the COVID crisis, of vaccinations and tests, has been probably one of the best in Europe and one of the best in the world.
Come
we have on. Put a lot of money into this, and the French people have been through the crisis with, of course, difficulties. We have more than 100,000 people who died, but the result is pretty good. So I don't think you can say that the government has undermined the social system and the way we have dealt with the pandemics. That's untrue, quite untrue.
We are 73rd out of 98 countries in the last Australian think tank ranking of the handling of the pandemic. You can't say we are the best of the world. Excuse me. Just relying on what
rubbish.
Generation
rubbish.
Of working class people have fought for, and that the
I
government
don't know where you find
has
your
been
statistics.
Under. Oh no, it's a liberal think tank in Australia that has
liberal,
been ranked. That has ranked our country 73rd out of 98 countries. You can check online if you don't believe me. So you can't
this
say that it's the best
dark.
Of the world.
So France,
it's,
but France it's, has it's been it disproportionately but, affected, which of course would not apply to quite a lot of the countries on that list. Let's just listen. Actually, I want to listen because we don't know for sure that President Emmanuel Macron is going to run as president. And I'd like to ask Richard about that in just a moment. But first, let's listen to the former Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, who said today that he's going to throw his weight behind his former boss, President Macron. This is what he had to say.
Pour l'élection présidentielle de 2022, I will support the President of the Republic in the 2022 presidential election. I hope he will be candidate. I've seen how much this mission, this task, was incredibly difficult, and I think that Emmanuel Macron has substance, which I haven't seen in other candidates for the presidential election.
Okay, the former Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, speaking there, saying he will support Emmanuel Macron. That's assuming he does run. Richard, is the President definitely going to run, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yes, but of course, he has not given me a phone call to tell me what his intentions were. But I think the situation is such that he will be candidate, and in my view, he will win, and he will win with quite a strong majority. Of course, there are many, many candidates on the left, 5-6, on the right, 5-6, even extreme right, 5 or 6, the Green movement. But I think this is fair. The presidential election is an important one, and everybody who thinks he can bring something to the debate may be a candidate. Of course, then you have to reduce the number for the first round, and of course for the second round. So we will see how the left wing, the socialists, the social democrats, the right wing manage to come to one, two candidates. I'm not sure that they can do better, but we will see how they do it. The Green movement at least has organized a primary election, I think next week or in 2 weeks. So they should have one candidate, and that will be clear. But it means that there will be a Social Democrat and a Green candidate, both. So if you consider that the left wing is about 25%, if you divide this by 4 or 5, it doesn't make much for each candidate. So things are not looking so good from that point of view.
Okay, so quite a fractured landscape is what you're
saying.
Very
fractured.
I'd like to ask Pierre-Henri Dumont. Listening to the president and observing him these last few years, he does look and sound increasingly like someone from the centre-right. And I'm wondering how Les Républicains are going to counter that during the election campaign. I mean, obviously, personality is going to have an important part, and we don't yet know who your candidate's going to be. Could be a woman, could be the first Madame Présidente. What do you think?
Well, it could be a woman. We have five candidates who want to be the next president of France, coming from our party or around the right-wing parties. Four of them are going to a primary election that might or might not happen in the next few weeks. The people who are members of Les Républicains will decide the 25th of September if there is a primary election in our party or not. And then you have Xavier Bertrand, for whom I'm a spokesperson, in his political and presidential campaign. What I want to say about Emmanuel Macron is that Emmanuel Macron sounds like a right-wing president, but is acting like a left-wing president.
Sure.
There is a difference between what he is talking about, how he's talking about, and who he wants to hit up, and how he is dealing with the rest of the people. The fact is, his top councillors are coming from former Socialist Party. I think Senator Young is coming also from the former Socialist Party. So basically, yes, he has some touches of blue in his political landscape, but is seen with for our people, our members, our citizens who back us as a leftist. The fact, again, if you take a look at the last results in local elections, both in municipalities and in regions, and you can add departments at the same time, the main party who won the elections were Les Républicains. In the bigger city, in the middle range cities, in departments and in regions. So we achieved.
Indeed. Indeed. It's going to be a challenge, though, isn't it, to convert that local level support into support at a national level, especially given the crowded the crowded field that we've been talking about. Let's move on, because I want to talk about, we haven't talked too much about Anne Hidalgo and the socialists. Obviously, the socialists last time around had a pretty disappointing showing in the election, didn't they, Angela, back in 2017, 7%, 6% for Benoît Hamon. I just want to talk about Anne Hidalgo, though, making this transition from Hôtel de Ville to the office of the presidency. She wouldn't be the first one to do that, would she?
Of course, Jacques Chirac, famous mayor of Paris, he also, of course, had been prime minister before he became president, so a different comparison. She will be pointing to her record as the mayor of Paris, and opinion is very divided on that. Many Parisians are delighted. She has made the city much greener. There are very many more bike lanes. She has virtually fought a war against cars. Others say she has driven out those people from the suburbs who might want to access Paris. A lot of people who come to Paris to work in cars, their lives have been made difficult. And many people say Paris doesn't just belong to the Parisians. It belongs to the whole nation. And she has made it too much for the Parisians. They also say that the city has become dirtier and that crime has become a bigger problem under her watch. So she will be pointing to that. She also needs to try to connect with France outside the capital, where people know her name, but they don't know very much about her. And so she needs to really reconnect, but certainly with rural France. She will point to her working class roots. She was born in Spain. She came to France when she was two. Her parents were Spanish and her parents were both working people. So, and she's very good at campaigning. She's very good at talking to people on the stump. So all of that will be put to use to further her case. But she faces a very uphill struggle. A recent poll suggested that if all the left parties were put together, it still would only garner 30% of the vote. So she has an uphill struggle, but who knows, anything could happen. We're 8 months away.
Absolutely. Do you think she's got what it takes, Anne Hidalgo, given that she's closest to your politics or of most of the candidates we've been talking about so far?
Actually, I don't know what she got, because she doesn't have any program. She doesn't have any concrete proposition. The feeble measures she put forward were completely vacuous, because there was no stand on them, economically speaking. So to me, it's a sign. She is the illustration of the shift to the right, even of the Socialist Party, who my colleague Dumont pointed that Emmanuel Macron had Socialist Party members inside his party, but he used to be in the Socialist Party, so he was very close to Anne Hidalgo, and they're very compatible. And now that it just doesn't only talk right, he act right. All the economic and cultural policies been implementing on all subjects were right wing policy. The former prime minister you interviewed was from the Républicain, the right wing. The main minister were from the right wing. So this is the right. And the reason why it's so crowded on the right is because he occupy all the space on the right. So Les Républicains has to compete with the far right. And you see how the shift is happening. And that's the same thing that is happening with the Socialist Party. She is from the right wing of the Socialist Party. If you call it center-left, she is not left at all. She is center, I would say that. And let me point out that what is actually possible is that Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is polling on numerous polls way ahead on the left, is the one who can break the terrible dilemma we face Macron and Le Pen. Is the one ahead of Anne Hidalgo, head of the Green candidate. He's actually another Green candidate that is pulling around 10, 11, up to 13%. And I think we are the challenge to make in order to convert all the abstention, because that's the main problem, I think. It's not just adding, electoral vote like what the La République En Marche, the speaker, said before. We had to appeal to the majority of the people who are not voting. And I think that's the focus, and not just counting and trying to patch together a residual electoral basis. I think that's what we're trying to do. And I think we can do this and be the very surprise
of
this election.
Time. I'm sorry, we're out of time. And I'm sorry to those of you who didn't have a chance to speak quite so much, those of you who weren't with us in the studio. But there's so much to talk about. And really, half an hour is simply not enough. enough. So thank you very much to you, Daniel Obono, MP for La France Insoumise. Thank you as well to Angela Diffley, our French politics editor. Thank you to Pierre-Henri Dumont, MP for Les Républicains. And thank you as well, last but not least, Richard Young, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us. That was the France 24 debate.